The Old Testament reading for the sixth Sunday after the Epiphany is from Deuteronomy chapter 30. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live according to loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not yet ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not merely being human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Matthew, the fifth chapter. Jesus said, you have heard that it was said of those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. And you have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away, for it is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body go to hell. And it was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but you shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say simply be yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for this morning's message was the epistle lesson from Paul's letter to the Corinthians. Reading through Corinthians, you quickly find out that Paul is totally exasperated with the church in Corinth. They're divided by factions, and they love the wisdom of men. Rather than the wisdom of God, they love the wisdom of men. The wisdom of men reflects various viewpoints that split and divided the people. Paul spoke very plainly to the Corinthians, and he explained the difference between real wisdom and the wisdom of men. There's no compromise between the two of them. Natural man's wisdom is limited and confused at best. Spiritual thinking takes the mind of Christ and makes it part of our very being and is a comprehensive type of wisdom. It deals with life as it really is. So what was wrong with the church in Corinth? Well, we could say they should have understood, because they had all of the scriptures that pointed them to the wisdom of God rather than the wisdom of men, but they didn't. They brought worldly thoughts into the church, and it's a common problem today. Church gets operated like a country club. I saw this past week a flyer from a church that was a duct tape moment. You know, when you duct tape your head, so when it explodes, you keep all the parts. And it said, if you entertain them, they will come back. Really? If you entertain the people, they'll come back. So I threw that flyer in the trash, because that's man-made wisdom. Has little regard for the church as an instrument for God to reach out to a disgraced and destroyed world. Or the church is sometimes seen as being run like a government, where the pastor's the head, the council is the ruling body, and then the laity just is the masses down below. The thinking of the world, when it's brought into the church, is destructive to the church. Now, churches do run on money, and sometimes they get so focused on it that they corrupt the scripture that says, "Seek ye first the offering plate, and all these things will be added unto you." This is how the church in Corinth thought. Excuse me. Sometimes churches think that numbers is when it's important. That same flyer I had said we have 4 buses that go out every Sunday to pick up kids. Like, the number of buses was important, rather than we have bus shuttle available. They had to specify, because this is what's important. It's the numbers. The thinking of the world has inflicted the church. 3 times in Paul's little brief scripture passage out of 1 Corinthians, uses the expression of the flesh. And that's what represented the real problem in Corinth. Paul says, "I cannot speak to you as spiritual men, because you are men of flesh." He began where they were in the very start. He had preached Christ to them. But after they had come to Christ, they didn't advance very far. And Paul calls them babes in Christ. Paul had been with the Corinthians for 1.5 years. But they were still bound to the thinking of the flesh. Now, there's nothing wrong with being a baby. Besides their being adorable, we all started that way. But you know what happened? We grew up. The Corinthian Christians weren't growing up. They were still remaining babies in Christ. That's what Paul's talking about here, is a spiritual babyhood that continues too long and requires milk instead of meat. And it's a very important distinction between milk and meat when we refer to scriptures. The same problem existed with the Hebrews. Or I should say, to the people that the book of Hebrews was written to. They were spiritual babies. Their development had been arrested. Hebrews 6 tells us that it's the elementary doctrines of Christ And then he goes on to list them for us. Evangelistic preaching is preaching of milk. It's how to become a Christian. Thousands of churches do it every Sunday. The main focus of their service is an altar call. Now, it's all right for those new to the faith, but we would rather have meat and potatoes. After all, with Super Bowl Sunday being today, how many of you are going to have a glass of milk rather than chips, dip, sausage, and all the good stuff of life? What would you rather have, a glass of milk or food? Food. That's what we should be seeking as Christians, is the food. Hebrews talks about the truth of the resurrection, the last judgment, or prophecies today. That's not a way to build a mature Christian. What is meat? Meat is the preaching that unfolds the full riches and magnificence of the gospel so that people grow up. They stop being children. As Paul says in Ephesians 4, no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Meat is that we died with Christ in order to be free from sin. It's what makes me a less irritating person when I realize I died with Christ and now Christ is part of who I am or who you are. Understanding what the fruits of the Spirit, that's just milk. But how to produce the fruits of the Spirit, that's the meat and potatoes. Rejoice in the glory of God is again milk. But learn to rejoice in suffering because God's at work in the midst of our sufferings. That is the meat and potatoes of the matter. Spiritual babies lead to division, fractions, and strife. And it rises out of a sense of competition. From 1 Corinthians 3, for while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving like ordinary men, still unchanged in your thinking? For one says, I belong to Paul, and another, I belong to Apollos. There's where you're getting the competitiveness of it. Are you not merely men? You know, we go to work, at least some of us do. Some of you are retired. But when you went to work, it was a competition at work. A lot of places, there's a dog-eat-dog world. There's infighting to get the next promotion or the next raise. It's not the way it's supposed to be in the church. The Spirit of Christ within us takes us away from being competitive within church and saying, I belong to him or I belong to him, but it's a picture of cooperation. So what then is Apollos? What then is Paul? Servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives growth. He who plants and he who waters are equal, and each shall receive his reward according to his labor. For we are fellow workers for God. You are God's field, God's building. That's the true picture of ministry. Ministry is not carried out by the pastor. Now, ministry is carried out by every person, because every person is given gifts from the Spirit. We're all called to be servants. The highest rank in a church is that of servant. In a church, there's no need for being competitiveness or even hurt feelings. For all of us are servants of Christ. Jesus said, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give himself as a ransom for many. What do you think of when you come to church? Do you come to church to receive a blessing or to be a blessing to other people? Today we live in a cult of self-life that basically says everything's got to meet my needs. That church or that brochure, that's what it smacked up to me, will meet your needs. If you need to be entertained, we'll do that. But that's not what the church is supposed to be about. That leads problems of fractions and divisions within the church. We're called not to be competitive. Paul says, no, we're in cooperation. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. We are doing different things, but we need both of them. In the church, we don't turn out carbon copies of the perfect Christian. We are called to be different because we've each received different gifts of the Spirit. The evangelist plants, but the Bible teacher waters. What's important here is, what is the most important one? The one who teaches or the one who evangelizes? You can't have one without the other. Because we know that only God can open up the hearts of people. All we do is share the gospel with others. So who's more important? Paul, Apollos, or say Billy Graham in his day? Each were needed for a specific purpose at a specific time. It's like saying which leg of your pants is most important, or which shoe that you put on in the morning is most important. You need them both, or you're going to look pretty silly walking around with only one pant leg. You need them both. We are God's fellow workers, and that is an amazing thing. Nothing is more important in life than that. Think of the privilege of being a fellow worker with God in this day and age. When at last it's all over and we stand before the King, the greatest honor that will ever be accorded to us is the honor of having bearing his name and being an instrument of his grace where we live, where we work, and in our family. May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.